The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will never overcome it. Good morning. My name is Avril, and I welcome all of you who are listening to this service. Today, as we worship together, while still frustratingly apart, we remember the residents of the public housing towers in Melbourne, whose lockdown has been so much stricter than ours. And in fact, all the people of Melbourne who have had to return to stage 3 lockdown. We pray that God will comfort them as God comforts us through our participation in this service. As we gather, we affirm the diversity of our community represented in age, gender, sexuality, culture, and ability. We affirm that all people are welcome, and trust that you will find this to be a safe place for you to grow in God's love and the experience of a warm community. We are committed to loving God, growing together, partnering community, and sharing faith. We remember the original custodians of this land, the Wadawurrung, and ask for God's grace to join with them in being good stewards of this land, its water, and diverse communities. Today's call to worship comes from part of Psalm 119, verses 105 to 112. It is a very long psalm, and those are the verses for this Sunday. Your word is a lamp to our feet. Illuminate for us your way. Conceal us from evil and awaken us to justice. Your word is a light to our path. Be with us when we walk through dark alleys, empty parking lots, and deserted streets. Your word gives joy to our hearts. Give us joy when misery threatens to dull our souls. Give us joy when sorrow threatens to swallow our hope. Give us joy when we are persecuted and afflicted. Accept our offerings of praise, loving God, lamp to our feet, light to our path, giver of joy.
Thank you.
us bring our confession to God. Let us pray. Loving God, sower and reaper of grace, we admit to you that we are like stony fields, capable of growing goodness and sharing it around, but also prone to allow goodness to wither and weeds to flourish. We are not half as smart as we pretend we are. We are rarely as loving as we want to be. Your mercy has taken root in us, but we do not share enough of it. Your justice has inspired us, but we have not worked for it. Your truth has shone on us, but we have hidden it under a false modesty. Your inclusive love has brought us together, but we indulge the things that separate us. Most loving God, please open the furrows of our lives to receive again the seeds of your gospel. Rain your mercy upon us. Shine your warmth and light into every dark place. And bring forth in us not the harvest we deserve, but the harvest that in your glorious love you have purposed for us. Through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. This is the best of all. When we are empty, God fills us. When we are disheartened, God is compassionate. When we are wounded, God brings healing. When we confess our sin, God forgives. In Christ, through Christ, and because of Christ, our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Our Bible reading this week is the next part of Paul's letter to the Romans. This week we're reading from chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through the Spirit that dwells in you. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. I'm not going to read the gospel reading for this week, but it was the parable of the sower scattering seed in different types of ground, which you find in Matthew chapter 13. And what I'm going to read is a book called The Tiny Seed by Eric Carle, who you might know as the author of The Very Hungry Caterpillar. And he has written a fabulous book, which is pretty much a retelling of the parable. So I encourage you to go and look at the pictures on Vimeo. The Tiny Seed. It is autumn. A strong wind is blowing. It blows flower seeds high in the air and carries them far across the land. One of the seeds is tiny, smaller than any of the others. Will it be able to keep up with the others? And where are they all going? One of the seeds flies higher than the others. Up, up it goes. It flies too high, and the sun's hot rays burn it up. But the tiny seed sails on with the others. Another seed lands on a tall and icy mountain. The ice never melts and the seed cannot grow. The rest of the seeds fly on. But the tiny seed does not go as fast as the others. Now they fly over the ocean. One seed falls into the water and drowns. The others sail on with the wind. But the tiny seed does not go as high as the others. One seed drifts down onto the desert. It is hot and dry, and the seed cannot grow. Now the tiny seed is flying very low, but the wind pushes it on with the others. Finally, the wind stops, and the seeds fall gently down on the ground. A bird comes by and eats one seed. The tiny seed is not eaten. It is so small that the bird does not see it. Now it is winter. After their long trip, the seeds settle down. They look as if they're going to sleep in the earth. Snow falls and covers them like a soft white blanket. A hungry mouse that also lives in the ground eats a seed for his lunch. But the tiny seed lies very still, and the mouse does not see it. Now it is spring. After a few months, the snow has melted. It is really spring. Birds fly by, the sun shines, rain falls. The seeds grow so round and full, they start to burst open a little. Now they are not seeds anymore. They are plants. First, they send roots down into the earth. Then their little stems and leaves begin to grow up towards the sun and air. There is another plant that grows much faster than the new little plants. It is a big, fat weed. And it takes all the sunlight and the rain away from one of the small new plants. And that little plant dies. The tiny seed hasn't begun to grow yet. It will be too late. Hurry! But finally it starts to grow into a plant. The warm weather also brings the children out to play. They too have been waiting for the sun and springtime. One child doesn't see the plants as he runs along and, oh, he breaks one. Now it cannot grow anymore. The tiny plant that grew from the tiny seed is growing fast, but its neighbour grows even faster. Before the tiny plant has three leaves, the other plant has seven. And look, a bud! And now even a flower. But what is happening? First there are footsteps, then a shadow looms over them, then a hand reaches down and breaks off the flower. A boy has picked the flower to give to a friend. It is summer. Now the tiny plant from the tiny seed is all alone. It grows on and on. It doesn't stop. The sun shines on it and the rain waters it. It has many leaves. It grows taller and taller. It is taller than the people. It is taller than the trees. It is taller than the houses. And now a flower grows on it. People come from far and near to look at this flower. It is the tallest flower they have ever seen. It is a giant flower. All summer long, the birds and bees and butterflies come visiting. They have never seen such a big and beautiful flower. Now it is autumn again. The days grow shorter, the nights grow cooler, and the wind carries yellow and red leaves past the flower. Some petals drop from the giant flower, and they sail along with the bright leaves over the land and down to the ground. The wind blows harder. The flower has lost almost all of its petals. It sways and bends away from the wind. But the wind grows stronger and shakes the flower. Once more, the wind shakes the flower, and this time the flower's seed pod opens. And out come many tiny seeds that quickly sail far away on the wind. The end. Reflections with the basic theme, why the Apostle Paul is awesome, and not pseudo Paul, who said that women should neither teach nor preach, but the Paul we meet in the letter to the Romans. If you remember last week's reflection, we heard the Apostle Paul telling us sadly, "I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do." And if you're anything like me, you had to nod sadly in agreement with Paul. But if you also remember last week, drawing on Brené Brown's work, I said that I believed that Paul was expressing guilt, not shame. That Paul was able to talk about the bad things he did, but not the bad person that he was. And today, we discover how Paul was able to distinguish between what he did and who he was. Why he was able to feel healthy guilt but not unhealthy shame. In today's reading, we hear from a hopeful apostle as Paul rejoices that he has been set free from the law of sin and of death. Last week, we heard Paul say, "With my flesh, I am a slave to the law of sin." But this week, he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Left to ourselves, we might have remained trapped in our wrongdoing, but we have not been left to ourselves. God has not left us alone. In Christ Jesus, God entered into creation and joined us in our humanity. And in the Spirit, God is still with us, around us and between us and within us. As we listen to today's reading, we need to be careful about how we hear two words, flesh and law. And point of interest, or possibly not interest, but I will say it anyway, the Greek words are sarx for flesh, and it's from that we get the word sarcophagus, and the word for law is nomos. Paul is using them here in specific ways. All the way through today's reading, Paul contrasts flesh, sarx, and spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the spirit set their minds on the things of the spirit. It's easy and tempting to translate flesh into body and spirit into soul, and so to argue that our bodies are bad and our souls are good. And there have been varieties of Christianity that have done that, and there have been Christians that have deliberately mistreated their bodies in order to get closer to God. That isn't what this reading means, and we need to be really careful about that, because if we misread flesh as our bodies, it's quite dangerous. We live in a society that frequently tells us that our bodies are wrong and that our bodies need to be controlled and disciplined. We live in a society of obesity and eating orders, a society in which even children can talk about being bad because they indulge in a particular food. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of having a 5 or 6-year-old say that they were bad because they ate chocolate. But boy, once you hear that, you really notice your own language around food. Behind all those problems that we have with our bodies in the modern world is the idea that our bodies aren't really us, that there's an I who is my mind or my soul or my spirit, which is housed in a body, but my body is somehow separate from me. And that is definitely not the way Christianity understands humanity. Our bodies are such an important part of our identity that in Jesus, God took on a human body. When God came to be one of us, God became truly human. And that means that God had a real flesh and blood body. So we too should respect our bodies as ourselves, because God had a body. So when Paul talks about the law of the flesh, he is not talking about living life in bodies. When he says that to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace, he is not suggesting that we turn away from eating and drinking and sleeping and playing and making love and washing, although sadly some Christians have turned away from all of those as though they were wrong. By the flesh, Paul is simply talking about everything that separates us from God. After all, today's reading ends with Paul telling us that the God who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to our mortal bodies through the Spirit that dwells in us. And the other word that we need to be careful about when we hear this reading is law, nomos in Greek. Paul has spent a lot of time in this letter explaining to the Roman Christians the futility of anyone trying to live a righteous life by obeying an external law. But here he contrasts the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus with the law of sin and death. We need to be very careful and remember that Paul is not replacing one law with another. Instead, he uses the word law in the way that Australia's First Peoples use it. For them, law doesn't refer to rules. Paul is not saying that there are new rules we have to follow. For Australia's First People, when they use the word law, they mean culture and religion and land as something that is life-giving and a gift from God. And Paul, before anything else, is a good Jew, and so he uses the word law with its Jewish meaning, which means it is God's gift to humanity. Paul ends today's passage by writing, "You are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you." Paul is telling us that we are actually able to live the lives that God wants us to live. Not because we in ourselves are so strong and good that we're able to obey the law and never do anything wrong. We are going to do things that are wrong. But because God's Spirit is within us and because we live within God's Spirit. Because we live in Christ and live according to the Spirit, we can know God's love and peace. And this is why Paul, despite talking in last week's reading about all the wrong he did, is able to live with joy and hope. In Brené Brown's terms, Paul experiences guilt but not shame because he knows that he is living within God. God sent Jesus to live as we live, to experience everything that we experience. And so we have been set free through Jesus from the law of sin and death. In next week's reading, we'll hear that we have been adopted by God, and so we are the children of God. And then in 2 weeks, we're going to hear one of my favourite passages from this letter. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we hear Paul talking about the evil he does that he does not want to do and the human enslavement to the law of sin, we need to remember where Paul is leading us, to the reassurance that we are the children of God and that nothing will ever be able to separate us from God's love. We live in Christ Jesus and God's Spirit is with us. And because of this, we can do more than we ever thought possible. And we can live lives of astonishing love. And when we make mistakes, when the evil we do not want is what we do, we are still always, no matter what, God's children. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's bring our prayers for the world and the church. Let us pray. Loving God, we know that nothing can separate us from you. Continue to surround us with your love during this time of crisis. Be with every member of the Western Heights community. Continue to give us the courage, the patience, and the kindness we need as isolation stretches on. Reassure us that we are still gathered together through you, even when we cannot meet. We pray for all those who have kept working in the community through this crisis, all the medical staff, the emergency services workers, the supermarket employees and freight workers, those who found new ways of working from home, those who are now slowly and carefully returning to work. We pray for those who have lost their jobs, who are facing an uncertain future. We pray for the homeless and those in insecure housing, and for those whose homes have not been safe places during this time of lockdown. We pray for our leaders, for Scott Morrison and Daniel Andrews, and for Chief Medical Officers Brendan Murphy and Brett Sutton. As we begin the steps that will take us out of lockdown, give them your wisdom and help them to make the best decisions, not the ones that are politically expedient. Loving God, we know that we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. Help us to continue to be that one body in this difficult time. In the name of your Son, our Lord, Mother and Friend, Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Spirit, teach me to walk in the light of your presence. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to love with your heart of compassion. Teach me to trust in the word of your promise. Teach me to hope in the day of your coming. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. You wrote the rhythm of life, created heaven and earth. In you is joy without measure. So like a charm in your sight, I dance to see your delight. For I was made for your pleasure. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to move in the power of your spirit. Teach me to walk in the light of your presence. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to love with your heart of compassion. Teach me to trust in the word of your promise. Teach me to hope.
Go now in the light of Christ, living according to the ways of the Spirit, in life and peace. And may God sow in you the seeds of an abundant harvest. May Christ the Word illuminate your way. And may the Holy Spirit give life to you, body and soul, now and always. Amen.